5:07 in the third quarter. Dropping. It's a blitz. Blake scrambles away from it. Rolling to his right. Looking into the end zone. Looking. Fires it into the end zone. No side. Touchdown. There's now a touchdown. That's Allen Robinson. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Bortles fires to the middle of the field. Caught by Allen Robinson. That's a first down. He hit A-Rob in the middle of the field inside the 20-yard line. Got it down to the 18-yard line. First down, Jacksonville.
Now I can say it with confidence. That one takes Allen Robinson over 1,000 yards receiving. Congratulations, A-Rob.
You know what you do when Allen Hurns is hurt? Throw it to A-Rob more.
First and goal, Jags from the 8-yard line. Shotgun for Bortles. Rolling to the right. Blake looks. Pump fake. Looks. Got away from a defender. Fires into the end zone. Diving attempt by Allen Robinson. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Bortles to A-Rob for the score.
He is an absolute monster.
Second down and goal, Jags from the 7-yard line. They trail 42-32. Dropping. Looking. It's a blitz. Throws to the middle of the field. That is caught for the touchdown. Allen Robinson, a 7-yard touchdown catch from Blake Bortles, and the Jags are battling back.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Jeff Lagerman.
Oh, he's back. The professor, our version of the professor here in Jacksonville. Jeff Lagerman back, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It's finally here, guys. Draft week is here. I don't know about you, Jeff. I'm ready for it. Don't be, I've been talking about almost nothing but the draft. There's free agency mixed in as well, but it just feels like there are only so many permutations at this point in time. You know, I'm looking forward to, guys, when the Jags finally move out of the top 10, right? And let's hope they're picking 32nd, and then we have to figure out all these different things. Where could they possibly go instead of coming up with a short list of three players and hoping that they get one of these three guys?
What kind of value, like, you're picking 10th in this year's draft and all this is coming out about Miles Jack, and you're like, oh, please.
Right. Can he slide to me? We'll take him at 10, please. And I don't know, Loggy.
I'm just wondering, at some point, you know, the Jaguars start winning. You know, I'm winning big.
Right.
You know, start drafting like 26, 27, 28, 32 would be great.
That'd 32 be nice.
Would be fine.
Okay. What are we going to do for our draft show? Like right now, we're going to be on the air Thursday night, like 6 to 10.
Ah.
Okay.
You got to suck it up and go deep.
We got to go deep.
You got to go deep into the night, baby.
I would welcome it.
If they're picking 32nd, we'd all welcome. We'd go all night long
all
with
night.
That one. It'd be fantastic. All right, folks, let me throw out the question of the day. We'll take a quick time out and get rolling here this morning on Jaguars Today. Get in on board on the phone lines at 641-1010. The text line as well, same number, and it's driven by Duval Ford. The question of the day that we pose to you today, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, which you can answer on Twitter and Facebook, is which three players, in order, do you think the Jaguars have at the top of their draft board? In other words, they're sitting there at three. They're guaranteed, if they don't move out of that spot, no worse than their third-graded player, who's a non-quarterback, okay? So we assume Goff and Wentz are going 1-2 in whatever
order.
Well, that's what Miles Jack thinks. He'd probably say that three times. Ramsey already is upset because at best he can only go third in the draft right now. So which three players in order do you think the Jaguars have at the top of their draft board? Not who you want them to have, who you think they actually have at this point in time. So tweet us at MD_1010XL at logs56, LOGS56, or at 1010XL. Fat Tony, hop on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back with plenty of Jeff Lagerman. He's going to stick with us all throughout the show today. And tomorrow, Tony, got the media mock draft at this time. We'll be rolling through the first four picks or so. Dan Hicken and Brent Martineau from Action Sports here in Jacksonville will put their brains together to select the number 5 pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars tomorrow. All that coming up and more. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
So I think we're about 98% there. I would say the first handful of rounds, we feel good about where we're at. As we get through tomorrow, we'll probably start working on, you know, the late round guys and the college free agents on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
That's Dave Caldwell last week here on Jaguars Today, saying the team feels they're about 98% ready to draft. And trust me, they'll use all 8 picks, whether in trades or selecting players, Tony. They're not going to come to the 6th round and go, damn, we didn't study enough on these guys.
Oh, well.
Who do you like, Gus? I think they'll have a pretty good plan in place. Whether it's the right plan, well, really, Logs, we won't know that for a few years, will we? If it's the right plan, until it's all said and done.
No, I mean, now's the point you start to evaluate, you know, the first draft class that Caldwell had. You know, and right now you wouldn't give it an A. I mean, you give it a good grade, like, you know, B minus, C plus.
The first draft?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, probably B minus.
Man, I don't know. Jokel, is he going to get a second contract here?
I mean, right now, probably not.
Cyprian going to get a second contract here?
We'll see about this year.
Right, we'll see about this year. So on the fence, right? Grotz is not going to get another contract here. Ace Sanders already gone.
Yeah.
Denard, nice player, but I don't think he's a priority.
Where he was picked. No, he's not a priority, but he's a guy you'll keep in the fold.
Right, I mean, you start getting deeper. I don't know.
Demetrius McCray
looked like he was going to be a value for a while.
When the draft first happened, you were thinking pretty good.
Oh, right. All right. You know, but that just goes to show you, I think, you look over time. I for me, B minus would be high probably right now.
Yeah, it might be as far as if you're looking at second contracts. But, you know, the one thing that they did get out of these guys was a lot of starts. But at the same token, you know,
they're going to get starts out of whoever they draft.
There's a lot of guys that would have gotten starts with that team.
Exactly.
You know, from the very beginning.
A lot of opportunity, let's say, as far as that goes. All right, we got calls coming in for you. We don't have Jeff Logman every week during the offseason, so let's take advantage today. We'll take as many of your calls as we possibly can this morning at 641-1010. We'll start with Gary on the south side. Wants to talk Miles Jack. Good morning, Gary. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. You remember, Mike, I called you more than a month ago, and I said several doctors in the league had questions that he might possibly need microfracture surgery in the next couple of years?
No, I don't.
You did. You said you were looking through all through the internet, and you couldn't find anything.
Gary, I mean, you're asking me, do I remember you calling over a month ago? I'm sorry to tell you, I don't. But
no, I did. You questioned where I got that information because you looked it up and you couldn't find anything on the internet about it.
Okay, I do remember that now.
I got a question. Where's that information at now?
Right. What doctor have you spoken to that says he needs microfracture surgery?
Saying that this was over a month ago, Log.
Gary, I'm asking you, how do you know he needs microfracture surgery?
I don't. I said some had concerns that he could possibly, is all I said.
Okay. And what is your point, Gary? At the time, I Googled it. There was nothing on the internet about it. Maybe you heard something on NFL Network. I don't know.
Gary, are you
calling just to pat yourself on the back because a month ago you heard some rumor that Miles Jack may need microfracture surgery, or do you have something to add to the conversation?
I wouldn't call just to make something up.
Gary, thank you. So you just want to refresh our memory
that
someone speculated that he might have to have microfracture surgery, and Gary, you reminded us that you called over a month ago.
Yeah, it's good job. It's amazing.
Way to start the week.
You know, there is very little information, really none, about what the true condition of his knee is. You know, so.
Defect in his knee, who knows that? And are they talking, in your experience, Jeff, and look, there are a lot of mouths out there, right? And people do sometimes get accurate medical information.
Well, here's the thing. The information that you're talking about just recently came out.
The chondral defect.
Right.
That was in the last couple of days.
Right. And so, you know, when stuff comes out the week or the, you know, 7 days prior to the draft, what's the purpose of that information
and what's the accuracy of that information? Misinformation, right?
That's right. You know, so you don't know.
Well, we have no idea.
No.
And who would be in position to know that he specifically has this thing called chondral defect, right? You would have had to examine him or be privy to the medical reports. Now, I don't know how widespread that information, but obviously Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley have it. Several members of every organization have it. So all it takes is one person to leak it to the right member of the media. I'm not saying that information cannot get out, but like you said, is someone associated with a team picking in the 8 to 12 range, who wants Miles Jack saying, hey, look, we're not touching this guy, chondral defect.
Well, and people say, well, if they've got their own doctors, wouldn't they trust their own information? Well, here's what that information can do, and that it can put doubt into somebody else's opinion of their confidence in their own doctor. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, if our doctor said he's going to be fine, well, and this doctor over here with another team is saying that he's got this. Well, maybe our doctor's not right.
Right. What are you missing?
Yeah, are we missing something? You know, so, I, you know, look, we'll find out more. I think, as his career begins and gets going. But right now, you can't sit there and say with certainty that this is the issue with Miles Jack's knee.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Devin in Mandarin next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Devin.
What's up, brother? I'd like to apologize for Gary. I know he only thinks y'all only answer his telephone calls.
It's okay, man. You don't need to. He's fine. Don't worry. Let's move on. What you got for us?
Just watching based off the highlight tapes itself, if we were to get Miles Jack, he is a freak of nature, not only on defense, but his running back situation. Would we ever put him in there? He's something serious. If you ever watch, you know, when I watch his highlight, I just Google his name, and what he does as a running back is something freakish, too.
Yeah, I understood. He was Jeff, he's the only player in the history of the Pac-12 or the Pac-8 or the Pac-10 or whatever incarnation
whatever
of that conference.
So
whatever pack that won offensive freshman of the year and defensive freshman of the year in the same season. Only guys ever done it. Yeah. Probably never happen again. I mean, realistically.
The thing that really kind of impresses you when you watch him is that, you know, he was kind of the weak side linebacker for UCLA. And, like, when you go to a nickel package, the weak side linebacker typically stays in. The Sam linebacker, the strong side linebacker, would come out. And, like, when I was in college, when we played nickel, we didn't have a nickel package where we brought in a defensive back. One of our linebackers just walked out and played basically a slot.
Right.
Well, that's what Miles Jack did for UCLA. And against BYU, I'm sitting there watching BYU film. You know, when you watch the film, you're going to watch, typically when you watch a linebacker, you're going to watch the end zone copy. I couldn't find him. You know, the jersey number that, you know, that says what he's wearing, which is, I think, 30, can't find him. So then I go to the sideline look, which shows the all 22. I'm like, oh, there he is. He's walked out on the slot. So, I mean, he covered wide receivers like it was no big deal.
Hey, Jeff, he didn't just cover him in the slot. He covered him out wide.
Out,
I mean,
wide
go look at him covering Nelson Aguilar all over the field, you know, who was a first-round pick last year as a wide receiver. Yeah, phenomenal. But to answer the question for Devin, I don't think anybody thinks they would – utilize Miles Jack as
no,
a running back.
No,
saying he would never in a trick play, one package type, one-off type
goal
situation.
Line maybe?
No.
It's Chris Ivory, go earn your money.
You let the full-time running backs carry the ball. Now, if he happens to be a PP on punt team, personal protector, you know, or something like
right,
that.
Right, a fake punt
absolutely.
Opportunity, something like that. I got what you're saying. But, no, I mean, look, we're wondering, will his knee hold up till Thursday?
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask him to play both sides of the ball in the NFL yet, Devin, but thank you for the call. He absolutely is a freak, and has been at least, at UCLA and whatever he's done to this point. Raven on the west side next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Raven.
Yeah, how you doing today, guys?
Good, what's up?
Hey, I just want to say I'm real impressed with the draft this year, and I'm so excited. And when you guys play against us, the Ravens, you know, I don't really care who wins that game. But, you know, if Black Jackson will win, I'm content with that. But anyway, getting back to the draft, Oregon's Butner, would that be considered that him and, like, Noah Spence, how he built up that line to have, I mean, a vicious, you know, line, which I mean, this dude's like a freak of nature. And I think, like, last year, since we messed up on UCLA, well, the guy from UCLA that went to the Jets, I think, you know, it'd be like the Jacksonville Jaguars in the past, like with John Henson and stuff, who controlled the line. I mean, just had that presence. And I think it'd scare the hell out of Andrew Luck, if you ask me. I mean,
You're talking about Leonard Williams,
yeah,
not from UCLA, USC.
Right.
Who, you know, common sense would tell you the Jets didn't need another interior defensive lineman. Well, then it makes other guys expendable, you know, maybe even tradable. Would it be a great fit depth-wise if the Jaguars were to draft a Forrest Buckner? Probably not.
Where's Buckner going to play? He's going to play left end, right?
Well,
in this defense, wouldn't he be left end?
I think ultimately his perfect position is a three technique, which
you just spent $90 million bucks.
Yeah, you spent a lot of money on.
Right.
But at the same token, you know, and there's a question mark with Sendarek Marks. Okay, ACL year before last year, he had the tricep. Where is he at in the recovery? And then also, if you ended up drafting a DeForest Buckner, could he play the strong side end like a Jared Odrick? Absolutely. He could play anywhere. And my thought is, if he ends up with this football team, you have to change your defense. Because that 4B, that strong side end that the Jaguars run, I'd throw that out the window. And I would play the true 4-3 where you've got that defensive end, typically a left defensive end or strong side defensive end. He's playing a 5. because it's an easier position to pass rush from. And I would change the defense to fit the personnel, and he would change a defense for me.
To be clear, for people who don't know, you love Buckner, right?
I mean, I think he's a fantastic player.
Right. Tony, we talked to Russ Landy, who thinks he would be an excellent strong side end in the defense they currently run. In fact, he thinks, you know, Russ has been in the business for a long time. He's the college scouting director right now for the Montreal Alouettes. So he's free to talk about the guys because he knows Buckner's not coming to Canada anytime soon.
Sure.
And he thinks he is going to be a star in the National Football League. Thinks he's going to be spectacular and thinks, honestly, we even brought up, he goes, oh, my God. He specifically said in the Red Bryant role, he would be phenomenal for this football team.
He would be great in any role.
Yeah.
I mean, play him as a strong side end, a three technique. You know, and here's the other thing. People say, well, what would happen to send Derek Marks? You know, how would he find playtime if all of a sudden Buckner is playing the three with Malik Jackson? Well, send Derek Marks played nose tackle in Tennessee. So send Derek would have the flexibility of playing three, or he can back up Roy Miller.
Sure, and Malik's not playing 90% of the snaps either. You're rotating guys
it's
in there.
No, rolling so guys in.
And fresh, good,
Malik Jackson
waves.
Is a $90 million guy.
Right.
Well, a rookie that comes in, even though the first-round contract is expensive, it's still very affordable.
$25 million for the 4 years.
It would provide a great balance in age and then also in contract-wise,
sure.
Money-wise.
We got one. Ted at the Beaches has a question about some current guys on the roster. Who better to ask than Jeff Lagerman? Ted, good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Pretty good. Hey, man, my question is about two of our draft picks from the last couple of years, the defensive ends, man, are Chris Smith and Bennett. Are they going to be a part of the rotation, or are they just some guys? You know, I'll take it off the air, man.
Yeah,
and great question, Ted. Chris Smith, to me, is a guy.
You've said that pretty consistently every time we've talked about it.
Stuck with that. I don't dislike him, but I don't like him.
Would he be helped if they went to, like you said, if they drafted Buckner? Would he be helped by being in a more conventional 4-3 defense? I know we've talked about that before with Chris.
Yeah, I mean, because he's not really a fit in this defense. Going back to, you know, the 4-3, the true 4-3, or a 4-3 that was run for many years to where the left end is more of a 5, and he plays a 6 technique, whereas in the Jaguars' defense, the Leo is always on space. He's more of an athletic type, linebacker type when he's on what I call a non-tight end side. And then when they play their defense and he's on a tight end with on the same side of the 3 technique, so there's really not a left or right defensive end. And Chris, I think, is more suited to a true, okay, one guy's a left, one guy's a right. And he would be a left defensive end, even though he's not a very big man. Now Bennett's
the other one, yeah,
from Ohio State. I think is a good young player that can give you some reps. But do I see him as this guy that could develop into a top caliber player? No, I don't.
Do you right? Just forget whether or not Buckner is of good value to take here. Put Buckner out of your mind for a moment. Just in general, is defensive tackle a, quote, need for this team? Is it a high need? I don't see it being a great need.
I don't see it being a great need because I said this last year with you that I believe that Jared Odrick is really a defensive tackle.
He can
playing
play 4-B. Oh,
Wall
can play it. You got Avery Jones,
right,
in addition to Roy Miller and some Derek and now Malik. I mean, I think it's one of the best positions on the team. And Tony,
it is depth-wise, but here's the thing. If you can get a player that is – head and shoulders above.
Understood.
Everything that you have.
I'm not saying you don't take the better talent.
Right.
But I'm saying it, when you look at needs and you start ranking them for this team.
It wouldn't be there.
I'm shocked, though, Jeff, if you look at the pundits that have them ranked defensive tackle, some of them rank them as the second biggest need on this football team. And I'm like, what roster are you looking at? I really don't understand where that's coming from.
The biggest need is just an edge rusher, number one.
Sure.
Linebacker is number two, tied with safety. You know, a middle.
I can make an argument for linebacker being one.
You've gotten Tashaun Gipson in free agency. And I'm not saying that one guy is going to solve that position all by himself. Maybe not. Maybe
he
does.
But he should, shouldn't he? I mean,
but if you're paying that kind of money, I mean, you're kind of expecting him to solve that at least for the near future.
Mid-20s, former Pro Bowler just 2 years ago, right? That guy should be the answer to that position.
And from watching him play in Cleveland, I think that he is going to be a really good fit here because I think he was very miscast in his role in that Mike Pettine defense to where they played him more as a box safety, and then they had Dante Whitner playing more in a free role. And for a guy who was going to change his name to Hittner, wasn't he going to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
He's
legally going to change
his name to Dante Hittner.
Yes.
How do you have a guy who's going to change his name to Dante Hittner? You're going to play him at free safety instead of strong safety.
Questions.
I'm a little confused on
questions. I'm glad we don't need to worry about that. That we got plenty we have to worry about in the 904 area code. Phone lines absolutely loading up. So if you're on there, hang on. I promise we'll get to you in the next segment. 641-1010 if you want to squeeze one in today. Also jump on the text line, which is driven by Duval Ford. With Jeff Logman, with Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today continues on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Not with just this case, but there's a lot of information out there. I wouldn't, you know, believe everything you read. I think people always say believe half of what you read, and you know, so
half of what you see and none of what you hear.
Right,
maybe,
right,
something
like that. But yeah, I don't want to discuss individual players. I don't think it's fair to the team or to the players.
Understood.
So, I think we'll just wait to see the draft day.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
I was Dave Caldwell last Friday on Jaguars Today with myself and Tony, and we were bringing up Miles Jack specifically, Jeff. And we put in a frame that we understand we're not expecting you to tell us what you know about Miles Jack's knee, but just, you know, what generally could you tell us about him and what have you. And you heard what Dave said. Look, the bottom line, don't believe everything you hear, right? Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't believe what you hear about Miles Jack, right? If I'm a good GM, if it turns out they have Miles Jack off their draft board, I don't feel betrayed or lied to by Dave Caldwell based on that comment. It's not his job to inform us at this stage. It's his job to do as little as he can.
He could be meaning that don't believe everything you hear and that he's going to be our pick at number five.
Could be that. Yeah, right.
I mean,
because you see him in a ton of mock drafts. Could be that. You're right. It could be a lot of things.
Know.
This one on the text line driven by Duval Ford. Why are y'all hating on Marks? It's like y'all trying to kick him to the curb. And I'm assuming that was a voice text because it said kick him to the curve. Marks said he's 100% healthy, but I see you hating on him. Why? This hating thing just needs to go. It's been past due for a long time. First of all, I think
there's no hate for Sendarek.
Sendarek is probably maybe the most popular guy on the team.
I love him.
Personality wise, we all love him.
Yep.
He's great to work with. He's a great player. I've said ever since 2014, he was the MVP of the team, not just on defense. He was the best player on the Jaguars 2 years ago. Love to have him back. All Jeff is saying is, look, here's a guy who's torn an ACL and torn a tricep in two consecutive years. Let's hope he holds up, right?
Well, you hope
that's
he comes back.
That's a realistic. Well, they do believe that at some point in the middle of the offseason, I think that they're going to have Sendarek on the field. What did Dave Caldwell tell us about that, Tony? It wasn't this time we talked to him. I want to say it was about a month and a half ago. Was it OTAs that he said we might still have that?
I think with a tricep, that's realistic because, you know, he tore it, what was it, November?
Yeah, something like
November-ish, you know, so it's not as fast of, you know, the healing process, I don't believe, as a bicep. Because obviously tricep, you know, you use a lot more. Rehab is a little bit more involved.
Biceps, guns are for show.
Yeah, so, I mean, he should be fine by the time that they really start, you know, on the field meaningful stuff. Plus, you know, it's not like you're super stressing the tricep at that point anyway.
It's part of our job to look at various scenarios, and if some of them are not the 100% positive, doesn't mean we're hating on anybody. It's just don't take it so personally.
No, but I mean, if you're responsible to your team, as you know, that general manager has to be able to be responsible to the team and the organization. Is that the reality is that you had a guy who came back last year from an ACL and never was completely back 100% from that, and then tears a tricep tendon, and now so your question is he going to be back from the knee? Because that question's still there. And then number two, is he going to be back from the tricep as well? So it's a twofold question mark with Sendarek. Now, there is no question about how much you love Sendarek in the locker room, as a person, and everything else. But the reality is that you need to get players that are available and can play at a high level. Can he be that?
Maybe.
You don't know.
Right. And maybe not. So you have to have contingency plans. And again, they know more about his situation than we do. And we're not trying to tell you that he won't get back to that level. But these are just some of the factors that have to go into your thinking if you're Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley. Let's get to these phone calls here that are stacked up. 641-1010. John on the south side, you're next up. How are you?
Hey, doing good. My question is, what are your thoughts on us taking a quarterback in the third to fifth round to potentially back up Bortles this year and have the attitude that I want to go in there and start one day? Because it does seem like Henny is a guy that's happy being a backup, making good money, but don't we want a quarterback that wants to compete and ultimately be a starter in this league?
No. I don't. I mean, look, it's great if you have one who's talented enough. I'm for this situation, Jeff, I think Henny's attitude towards I'm your guy in case of break glass, in case of emergency, is great. It's fine because he's got a good working relationship with Blake. You don't need to create competition. They're not looking to create competition for Tom Brady in New England when they draft Jimmy Garoppolo or anybody else. They're trying to develop a good backup. Right. The Jags feel like they have a guy who knows the system, who works well in the quarterback room. Go look around at the state of backup quarterbacks in the National Football League. Chad Henne is in the top third of them, I would wager.
Absolutely. But now the need or the desire to draft a quarterback has nothing to do with Chad Henne. That's, to me, you always look for a quarterback in the draft, even if you feel like you have one. If you feel confident that in the mid to late rounds, you've got a guy that could develop into a franchise-type quarterback, you pick him.
Right,
and
because
I don't care
that's a commodity.
If you're set with a franchise quarterback and a top third backup, but because it is a commodity and it's a tradable commodity, and you can never have enough quarterback jars on the shelf.
Right, but it's not with the idea of, hey, let's grab this guy late, see if he can push Blake. They're quite happy. Blake's pushing himself. They're happy with his progress. They don't feel like he needs the threat of some sixth or seventh rounder, you know, with a bunch of moxie, you know, pushing him off the depth chart.
I've always had this. I think you consider drafting a quarterback every year. Because it's so important. Look at the number of teams.
Rare is the team that does that, but I've heard the theory has been out there for years. Absolutely.
Because you look at the number of teams that are looking for a quarterback now, and this franchise was one of them for many years once, you know, Mark Brunell moved on. You know, you were trying to find a franchise quarterback, and you never had one. You know, so why not take a flyer on a quarterback in the late rounds that you have confidence in? To me, it makes sense because, you know, the Jaguars out of the gate, going all the way back to 95, when you have Mark Brunell, who you got in a trade with the Green Bay Packers, and then you draft Rob Johnson in the fourth round. Rob Johnson ends up converting for this franchise into a first-round pick, which was the ninth overall pick that they drafted Fred Taylor.
Plus Tavian Banks.
Yeah.
His career was cut short, but still.
Take it in a minute. And if Tavian Banks were to stay healthy, oh, he was a fantastic talent.
Let's move along to Eric and Ponte Vedra next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. Got a question for you. I want to beg and plead for Tunsil. I just think that could be Jokel's last year with the Jags, and we got a backup or starting player from the Steelers who they let go, which, you know, has a surgery on his knee as well. So if we're on the 10-year plan, why wouldn't we get sure up that left tackle and get someone in here who I think is going to be a great player in the NFL? And, you know, as far as these other defensive picks, if we can get to the quarterback on defense, well, that's going to help everybody and make them all look like superstars in the backfield. So I just think we need to definitely sure up that offensive line. We have not, you know, addressed that yet. Jokel has proven he's not the guy, and Tunsil would be a great pick.
Well, I wouldn't say they haven't addressed it because they did sign Beachum, so that's the only point I would disagree with. But me personally, maybe I'm in the minority, Jeff. I'd have no problem if they draft Laremy Tunsil.
I would not either. But the question's still there, that there are questions with Tunsil, you know, in that durability. Robert Ndiche.
Kimdiche.
You know, supposedly he's kind of with him at the time, which there was a little bit of an issue.
Kimdiche told people
is
at the
that a concern? He kind of sold out Tunsil.
He totally sold him out there. I mean, yeah, I don't even want to go into some of the rumors because, you know, Tony and I mentioned rumors last week.
Mm-hmm.
Rumors about a high-profile player failing a test at the combine. Now it comes out today, the NFL has told teams no one failed a drug test this year at the combine. Zero players, so they're wising up, but there were two specific names attached to the
rumor. Here's a question that I have, though, with that announcement. Okay, not too long ago, there was a leak when it came to Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
And the league is under some serious scrutiny for that little leak. And now all of a sudden, which typically there comes always about this time, there's a leak about somebody has failed a test at the combine. with what happened with Josh Gordon and the NFLPA's reaction to that. Is this a smokescreen?
I don't think so, and here's why. Because you have to, by rule, they have to share the information with the teams, right? And once it goes to the teams, if you're the league office, like we were talking about earlier with the medicals and Miles Jack, now 32 franchises have this information. How many people within that franchise are going to have this information? It is too easy to think that that info is going to leak out, and the NFL ends up with egg all over their face if they try to some PR bluff that nobody failed a drug test at the combine. That's my take on it.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna believe that nobody failed a drug test at the combine.
I hope nobody did, because I mean, you know, you're gonna get tested,
right? I mean, that, you know? And it's not even the act of doing it; it's the timing of doing it. I think that team's calling into question. Eric, you don't need to make a case for Laremy Tunsil. He's made a pretty strong case for himself. We'll find out Thursday if the Jags think it was strong enough to consider him at number five. Let's go to Lucas in Gainesville next up on Jaguars Today. Hi, Lucas.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good, bud.
Hey, you know, I've heard y'all saying that, you know, you can't see us taking a defensive tackle, and all these people are saying, you know, defensive tackle is deep in this draft. And I just can't picture Malik or Sendarik playing that nose tackle type role that Roy Miller plays. So could you see us going more towards that type of tackle, where it's more of a run-stopping nose tackle to replace Roy Miller eventually?
I couldn't see them going high.
No, not high for nose tackle. It's just not a premium position. And you also feel pretty good at some of the depth that you have there.
It's a great Avery defensive Jones. Tackle draft, though.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, Avery Jones is a good backup also. And you could probably find, because it is a deep defensive tackle draft, supposedly, that you can find some of those guys maybe in the mid-rounds if that's what you so desire. Now, I know UCLA, and I go back to last year, and I remember that the linebacker, the Kendricks. Kendricks was a linebacker that was draft eligible last year for UCLA. And I remember sitting there watching on. I was watching all the linebackers, and all of a sudden, number 97 for UCLA kept popping up, and I was going, oh, my God, who is this guy?
Kenny Clark. Yeah.
And I remember going and I was talking to one of the Jaguars personnel guys, and I was like, who wears 97 for UCLA? And they're like, that's a junior. His name is Kenny Clark. And I was going, you know, I'm watching Kendricks, the linebacker, on film, and this guy, Kenny Clark, is the one that, even though these are plays that are supposed to highlight Kendricks, that Kenny Clark is really the one who I highlighted himself in
right.
The film, and he's draft eligible this year. He would be a guy that would fit that kind of Roy Miller role in this defense.
He has been mocked to the Jags, actually, in several mocks, Tony, that we've seen in the second round. Again, mm-hmm. I don't think they go with the traditional nose tackle type defensive tackle. I don't think
he's
they
a
go
little different, though, Mike. You know, and you know what we would consider kind of a traditional nose tackle is the guy hold the point, eat up blocks, you know, which is what Roy Miller is. You know, and but he's a little different because he's not traditional, because he can pass rush. And he's got some quickness to him, change of direction stuff. So he's not, I wouldn't put him in that true run stuffy nose tackle traditional role.
Again, $90 million to Malik Jackson. We've gone through the depth chart at defensive tackle. I just don't see early rounds them going that direction, but I guess we'll see. Some people might think Buckner would be a move in that direction. I think he's more versatile than that if they opt to take him at number five. Coming back, the State in Football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. Plenty more with Jeff Logman. If you'd like to get on board at 641-1010, both on the phones and the text line, driven by Duval Ford. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, got a few interesting odds and ends. This date in football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry on this date, April 25th, 1974. The NFL, well, they moved the goalposts on us. You hear that expression all the time. Everyone's moving the goalposts on us. Well, they did, literally. They went from the goal line, which is insane, you think about it, to a now.
They space for some great footage, though, in NFL Follies.
No question about it. You could use it for a pick. You could do all kinds of things. Guys running into the goalposts at the play or at the goal line, but then they.
How about
they,
Canada still using that?
That's nuts. I mean, you've got a pole, two of them, standing right there for you to run into. So the NFL moved the goalposts from the goal line to the end line where they are now. They also adopted a sudden death playoff rule for the first time. This date in 1991, remember Lisa Olsen, guys? She brought a lawsuit against the National Football League's New England Patriots for sexual harassment. A female reporter in the locker room and several players had complained that she was a, quote, looker. In other words, someone who stands there looking around the locker room, watching, not really working. We've seen them. There are people who do that. But she was known as an actual hardworking reporter and got basically sexually harassed in the locker room and really was a kind of a turning point, I think, in the way women cover pro sports, not just the National Football League. As, you know, we were talking about now, Victor Kiam was the owner of the Patriots at the time, told the joke, what do the Iraqis have in common with Lisa Olsen? They've both seen Patriot missiles up close.
Oh, boy.
Imagine Robert Kraft saying that today at a sports banquet like Victor Kiam said 25 years ago. And, I mean, there'd be calls for him to sell the team immediately.
Would not be good.
It would not be good. Famous birthdays for this date, not good. Art Schleister was born on this date in 1960, known more for his gambling exploits than
Kenny
anything
Rogers.
Else. What's that?
Kenny Rogers. He's
Kenny,
a gambler.
He is. That's right. He's a gambler. He's in prison right now, by the way, for fraud and some other stuff to go along. Not directly gambling related, I don't think. But he's been in and out of prison many, many times. Has spent well over 10 years of his life in prison. Art Schleister, 56 years old, living the good life right now behind bars. 1963, Randy Cross was born on this date. Three-time Super Bowl champion offensive lineman with the San Francisco 49ers. Also a three-time Pro Bowler. Darren Woodson, born on this date in 1969. D'Angelo Williams made a lot of fantasy owners happy who handcuffed him to Le'Veon Bell last year. Had a spectacular year. He turns 33 years old today. And Lamar Miller, the new starting tailback of the Houston Texans, is 25, a former Miami Hurricane. Happy birthday to Lamar Miller. This date in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry on Gate Parkway. If you need a family dentist or some cosmetic work done, call 620-9225. Visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, Albert Breer of the NFL Network is reporting some more details concerning the knee of linebacker Miles Jack, or at least clearing up details that we've all been speculating about for months now. A chondral defect is the reported issue for Miles Jack in that right knee. A chondral defect is a loss or lack of cartilage in one of those joints. Breer went on to say on Twitter that the problem that it can cause for him is still up for debate. How long his career may be, is he going to need microfracture surgery at some point? Nobody really knows, so it's up to teams to determine those kinds of answers to those questions. Teams outside the top 10 are reportedly doing more work on Jack, given that he may be available to them now in the upcoming draft. Cornerback Josh Norman signed with Washington over the weekend, a 5-year, $75 million deal with $50 million guaranteed, including $20 million to Norman in the first year with his $15 million signing bonus and $5 million base salary. In 2016, according to an unnamed source, Norman made a last-minute effort to switch agents and sign the franchise tag in Carolina, right as the Panthers had decided to rescind that tag offer, making him a free agent. Norman told Washington's team website after the signing that he was sideswiped by the tag removal news and that it came out of nowhere. He will be addressing the Washington media today. Things keep getting more and more complicated for Johnny Manziel, all of it of his own doing. The latest news involving Manziel, at least as of last night, is that he has been indicted in Dallas by a grand jury on a misdemeanor assault charge. The announcement of that indictment expected to be tomorrow. This is the incident wherein Manziel is accused of hitting his ex-girlfriend Colleen Crowley so hard that she temporarily lost hearing in one of her ears. She has been granted a 2-year protective order against Manziel.
I love ball.
I mean, you know.
Johnny Trainwreck.
Oof. You know, and now domestic violence added to the litany. And the rumors were out there, but, you know, now he's been charged with it. You know, and they say he's already had a civil settlement with his girlfriend. He's already paid her off, yet the police are still moving forward with this. Don't know how cooperative she's going to be if there's been a civil settlement, but maybe there was enough in her initial police report to go on to convict him. I don't know.
You know, I remember when that draft was getting ready to happen, which was the Blake Bortles draft.
Sure.
Johnny was off of some teams' boards. I mean, that was a fact. Just because they were concerned about Johnny's off-the-field actions, and those teams that had him off the board proved to be right.
Absolutely.
You know, and so he has got a big mess on his hands, and I would be shocked if he ever gets it together.
This point, yeah. I mean, because it's one after another after another after another. When Drew Rosenhaus publicly dumps you, He's the second agent to do so.
That's the first one that Drew Rosenhaus has ever dumped.
Right.
Just another thing, Tony. Josh Norman's guarantee was $35 million. You know, the first reports that came out was 50.
Mm-hmm.
The accuracy of it is always questionable. In the first reports, the true details, it's 35 million guaranteed.
Like 36 and a half.
Yeah, two years, 36 and a half is essentially
right around
the minimum.
35.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I mean, his per year average in the first 3 years exceeds the elite corners in the league. I mean, that's tremendous.
Next 2 years is the best deal for any cornerback in football.
Why would you want to fire your agent and hurry up and sign that franchise tag when you ended up getting the money that you believe that you're worth?
Right. Like, you got the sense that the agent was really hardlining it with Carolina. I don't know what he felt. Well, am I going to miss out on this payday? If they pull this franchise tag, no one's going to give me this kind of money. It's weird. It's almost like he didn't have confidence that he was going to get that kind of deal. And there was clearly a market for him. I don't know how many people were in that bidding range with the Redskins. They may have ultimately bid against themselves, but who knows?
Well, New Orleans supposedly jumped in. So you had Oakland, New Orleans, Jacksonville was in the mix, but you know, the Jaguars,
not at that cost.
No, not at you know, 15 a year. I think they were in the same kind of neighborhood as the Carolina Panthers were.
Right.
Which was, you know, $11, $12 million a year.
All right. Got a few here on the text line driven by Duval Ford. What's up, guys? Ask Jeff, what does he think about that linebacker from Georgia? That's Leonard Floyd. Daniel Jeremiah, apparently there's scuttlebutt that he's heard that if you want a shocking or surprising pick at number 5, keep an eye on Leonard Floyd to the Jacksonville Jaguars at number 5.
I don't see him at number 5.
Where do you see him? Is he middle of the first round?
I think just because of some of the things that he displays, I think he's going to be middle of the first round. You know, somewhere right in there, you know, 12, 13, somewhere down to 20.
Peter King had a mock draft today in his Monday Morning Quarterback column, and he speculated with the Jaguars trading back to 15 with Tennessee moving up to get Tunsil. And the Jags drafting Leonard Floyd at 15. But the compensation that he put forth was, in addition to the 15th pick, you'd get their first pick in the second round, which is 33 overall, and then, quote, another additional mid-round pick. There's no way you're dropping 10 spots out of the top 5, giving the best left tackle in the draft to your division rival for that return?
I you know, you could argue that that's worth every pick. I mean, to me,
It's worth certainly a lot more than one second rounder and a, quote, another mid-round pick. What is that, a fourth rounder?
I think that's okay.
I'm not sliding back 10
you know,
spots for that.
You know, because you go back and if you look at the drafts and you say, okay, well, what could you do from dropping a 5 to 15 and then picking, you know, a second-round pick and then a mid-round pick?
I'll give it to them for the 2 seconds they got off the Rams this year, which are a little bit later, but you get two of them. Give me those 2 seconds, and I'll drop back to 15.
To me, I take the picks.
I mean, you take 33 and, let's say, a fourth rounder.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't. That's not
15,
enough.
33, and a fourth rounder, I'd do it all day long.
Not enough for me. Me personally, and maybe you're right, maybe I'm right. Who knows? It would also depend on what falls to you at 15.
Leonard Floyd did not have, like, crazy sack numbers at Georgia. Linebacker, stand-up guy. When he pass rushes and he's got kind of a head start, so he's in full stride, he's got some really nice moves. Blinding speed as a linebacker. But he misses a lot at the end of the play. In other words, sacks or tackles, sometimes he misses. He's a little out of control. Is he a polished pass rusher? I don't think he is, but he shows the talent that he could be a great pass rusher.
Who's the best pure pass rusher, best sack guy, however you want to say? At the end of the day, if they don't get hurt and they don't get in trouble off the field, because several of them may have character concerns, whatever, who's just the best talent as a pass rusher?
Well, I mean, you could argue Buckner, I mean, because his numbers say so, and Bosa. And Bosa, I really like him as a player. He kind of reminds me of a Jared Allen, Trace Armstrong, in that he's very solid. He's got great hands. He's got nice body lean. But I don't see the freakish nature of somebody that, you know, when you're drafting at 5, where you want something that's a little freakish.
I don't think they take Bosa at 5.
And I just don't see that with him. He doesn't have the quick twitch. He doesn't have the explosion. But he's a very good, polished pass rusher. And I think the question mark with him is, can he take his game to another level at the NFL, or is what you're seeing with him at Ohio State right now what he is and what he will always be?
Right.
You know?
We got a lot of questions on that. In fact, one asking you to compare Bosa and Buckner a little deeper. We'll get a little bit more on Joey Bosa coming up. The question of the day is this. How do you think the Jags have their draft board stacked at the top? Who are their top three players in their eyes, not your eyes? What's your best guess on the three players the Jaguars covet the most? Assuming those quarterbacks are off the board, they're going to get at least one of those top three guys if they stick there at number five. So who do you think those three guys are? You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at Logs56, at 1010XL, Fat Tony. Jaguars Today Facebook page up and running this morning. Of course, text us at 641-1010 on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Or phone in. Phone lines open to you right now. If you want to get on with Jeff Loggeman, it's Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You know, I always envision it like you almost have two sets of D-line. You have a group A and another group of A, and you just roll defense alignment in there, and you just keep guys fresh, and you got enough rushers and interior rushers, and you know, you kind of have a vision of how that's how it's going to be. So with that, I mean, that takes quite a few players to do that. And so you're right. There is some truth to that. I think most teams would like that advantage. So that's why you keep looking at the defensive line. It's built up front first, offensive line, defensive line, and then you go accordingly.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, credit our friends at Jaguars.com with the audio there. Gus Bradley asked at the luncheon last week if this team, the Jaguars, have enough pass rushers. The answer is always no. No one has enough pass rushers.
Well, the answer right now is definitely no.
Correct. Unless you win the Super Bowl. Last year, the Broncos had enough pass rushers. Yes, they did. And that was good enough to help them win a Super Bowl. I got this series of texts in on the text line, guys, driven by Duval Ford at 641-1010. By the way, phone line's open. If you want to get in with the Logs, we've had a long off season without him. Now's your opportunity over the next half hour or so. So light those phone lines up. But here on the text line, this is talking about Miles Jack. We're discussing him earlier and his coverage skills. Someone said he's obviously not a Miles Jack proponent. He says he's covering slot wide receivers against Kansas State and UNLV. How in the hell does that translate to him covering Randall Cobb, Edelman, John Brown, the rest of the league's best slot receivers? I'd love to hear your response. First of all, nobody said he's going to cover all. He's going to be brought in here to play nickel corner, okay, and just cover slot receivers all day. He has shown the ability to do that, okay, at the college level and run with Nelson Aguilar. Who I pointed out, he covered him for a whole game, and he talked about Nelson Aguilar. Well, yeah, he had less than 300 receiving yards, only one TD as a rookie. Well, Julian Edelman had comparable stats as a rookie, too. Okay, guy was a college All-American wide receiver, and he didn't just cover him in the slot. He covered him out wide. He covered him all over the field. Put it this way. If you think that a linebacker can never cover a slot receiver, fine. But if you think that a linebacker can cover a slot receiver, again, I'll go back to what Russ Landy told us, Tony, that in all his years of watching film, and keep in mind, he's a professional college scouting director, albeit in Canadian Football League. You know, they're not handing out those jobs, though, just to,
no.
You know. He said he's, prior to watching the film of Miles Jack, Luke Kuechly was the best coverage linebacker he had ever seen, period, on film, until he watched Miles Jack.
Yeah.
Miles Jack is the best coverage linebacker that many draft pundits have ever watched on film. Does that mean he can cover every slot receiver in the NFL, the top of the line guys? No one's saying that.
That's what they have corners for.
Does that say, though, Jeff, that he could cover tight ends? Could he be effective? Could he be backs? Could he be effective against certain wide receivers in certain formations?
How about just as an example of the speed that he possesses to be able to do that?
Speed, agility, all that, exactly. You know, someone obviously doesn't. He says, I've watched Ramsey. I like Ramsey, but after looking at some of his game film, I don't like him at corner, and that's me being realistic. I wish I would look at Jack the same way. Well, I don't understand.
I like him as a linebacker, not a corner.
Right. I like him as a linebacker who has the best coverage skills.
I like the fact that he has coverage skills of some corners, right. linebacker.
When's the last time you felt this, that the Jags could lock down a tight end, a good tight end? Been a long time, right? It's been a while, and I'm not saying that, you know, look, he's got – a lot of versatility. Am I saying he's the pick? I don't know if he's the pick. If he's healthy, he'd be my pick.
Yeah, see, Jalen Ramsey is a guy that to me is very interesting watching him play. Corner, safety, great speed, very good tackler. But yeah, the one thing that I have concerns about him, and if the Jaguars pick him I think he's a good pick, but, you know, a game-changing defensive back has to have the ability to take the ball away. And I have concerns that he gets his hand on the ball, but he doesn't keep his hands on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it, three interceptions?
Three interceptions, right.
At Florida State, and, you know, that's a number that, you know, I'm not just pointing to as just direct evidence, but, you know, watching him at the combine, he kind of fights every ball that he catches. You can tell that he's just not a natural pass catcher. Watching him play in the games, that he's not going to make the interceptions. He's just kind of trying to get a hand in there. You know, to me, if you're going to draft a defensive back, you know, that high, you want to have a defensive back that can change the game by taking the ball away.
What is your best guess, Jeff? And you're around the team as much as anybody. I mean, how do you think they feel about Jalen Ramsey?
I think they love him athletically, but I think that I would be crazy to think that they don't see what everybody else is seeing, and that the hands are an issue. But there's no disputing the physical talent that he has. But, you know, as a defensive back, a game-changing defensive back, you know, when you think of a guy like that, you're thinking of, you know, Patrick Peterson, Ed Reed, guys that can change the game, Darrell Revis, that can make the interceptions and shut a guy down. I think that Ramsey has the ability to shut a guy down, but I don't know if he has the ability that he's going to be able to get six, you know, four or five picks a year.
Right.
And three at Florida State.
And again, going on what the analysts who are breaking down the film are saying, that Ramsey struggles. His biggest struggles are when he has to turn his back to the line of scrimmage. In other words, when he's playing corner and he's got to chase and he can't track the ball, you know, relocating the football and covering, you know, turning his head, diagnosing plays in that type of situation, as opposed to standing back there as the last line of defense as a free safety and being able to scan the field and reacting to everything in front of him, well, you filled that hole. I mean, Tayshaun Gibson is not a placeholder kind of signing, in my opinion.
Mike, watching him, you know, because watching his film, you know, last year watched him, you know, Mike Pettine regime, all that, and then the year before he was kind of more in the role of a true free safety. Man, he has a great knack for making plays on the ball, intercepting the ball, and that's what you want. You know, so I think Gibson is going to be a really good fit for this defense. It's going to allow Cyprian and James Sample to battle it out at strong safety, and we'll see what happens there. But it's going to allow them to do what they do best. Gibson, what he does best is playing center field. Sample and Cyprian, what they will do best is playing in the box area. And I think Sample is going to be one to watch. I think it's going to be interesting how that battle goes in training camp.
Yeah, you're going to have to adjust that B-minus grade if that's the way that goes.
That's right.
In terms of that 2013 draft class. Let's get Will on the west side. Wants to talk Jalen Ramsey on Jaguars today. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, guys. Love the show, man.
Thanks, bud.
Hey, man, just to kind of piggyback off what Jeff was just saying about Ramsey, I think that's kind of like a contradiction. I think we should take Ramsey. It's not. Can't you be a playmaker cornerback without interceptions? That's like a defensive end. Yeah, the sacks are the good numbers, but the quarterback hurries and things of the knockdowns, isn't that more suffice than, say, the sack per sack number? You know what I'm saying? I think that's kind of like
what you're
saying.
The debate is pressure, you know, consistent pressure just as important or not more important than the actual sack total, because sometimes you can have a fluky year when you fall into some sacks. I think when you talk about elite pass rushers who pile up double-digit sacks year after year, they're probably doing it with accompanying pressure as well. But what about that point maybe he does, you know, break up a lot of passes, does a lot of things well, just doesn't get a ton of interceptions? Speak to that point.
No, I mean, it's a good point, you know, that can he be a shutdown corner without making interceptions? You know, maybe, but I would feel better about drafting a defensive back that can get his hands on the ball and who has great ball skills.
Here's
and
the thing.
To me, Ramsey doesn't have great ball skills.
Jeff, I believe the Jags would have to see him as a corner to draft him at five, right? You're not going to play him. I don't think you're playing him at safety. Somebody texted in this morning, would you play him at strong safety? Is he physical enough for that?
No, wouldn't be a strong safety.
Right, and even if you thought he was, you're not drafting a strong safety at five. And you just drafted Sample last year to compete with Cyprian, and he really hasn't had the opportunity because he couldn't stay healthy to do that. And like you said, I think they like Sample. So you have to like him as a corner, and then you start considering where is this draft strong, with there, I think there's a good chance to get, if you want to get a solid corner that can help you in round two or three, this draft is supposed to be pretty deep with those guys. You know, you might be able to get a decent defensive back. I'm not saying don't draft Ramsey because of that, but it's a factor that goes into the overall decision making.
See, I feel pretty comfortable with where the Jaguars are at in their defensive backfield. You know, I feel okay about them. I think they're sufficient. I think you need to address the front seven before you look at we need to address the back end. That's the greatest deficiency this team has, the front seven.
Do you think they take Buckner over Ramsey, given the choice? The
yeah.
team. Do you think they take Bosa over Ramsey?
I would.
I know you would, but
I don't know what they would
your
do.
Best guess, your educated guess. Do you think the team would take Buckner
yeah,
over Ramsey?
I mean, I think they probably would, but I don't know for sure.
Bosa, not in the same category?
Yeah, I just, you know, like I said about Bosa, for me, Buckner is head and shoulders above the player that Bosa is.
Right.
I mean, Buckner is a guy that if you didn't sign Malik Jackson in the offseason, there wouldn't even be a conversation about it. I think Buckner would be the hands-down guy that they were going to take. You know, and he's that good.
All right. One last retort from this person who clearly doesn't like Miles Jack. He says, don't water it down now. Jeff clearly said Jack can do it all when he was referring to Dave's comments.
Yeah, at the collegiate level, he can do it all.
Right, did it all. Right.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean, you know, you say a guy can do it all, doesn't mean he's not ever going to get beat. There aren't going to be guys who can't handle, right? I mean, there are players who can do it all that are going to run into J.J. Watt and not going to be able to do a whole lot with J.J. Watt because he is, you know, he's at the top of his game. You may be the best at your position, doesn't mean you're the best at every position.
No.
There could be 10 guys at another position that are all better than everyone who plays your position, you know, and if you go head-to-head with those guys, you're going to struggle, right? He said that Jeff was literally slobbing over Miles Jack. Poor use of the word literally. Miles Jack is not here. And because he lined up out wide and over the slot when he watched him on film, and now you're putting words in my mouth saying I called him a borderline nickel cornerback. Just forget it. I'm moving on. You clearly don't like Miles Jack. I didn't say you said he was a borderline nickel cornerback. I said that's what you're describing. Your nickel back usually covers the slot, okay? That's what I'm talking about here. We're not suggesting that Miles Jack is being drafted as a linebacker to play in the secondary, okay?
You don't do that.
Even though San Diego reportedly worked him out that way. I wasn't ever convinced that they worked him out to be a full-time safety necessarily, but to see his versatility in, you know, certain sub-packages and what have you. But they thought enough of his ability to consider, could he play safety in the National Football League? Maybe replace a guy like Eric Weddle.
Maybe he could.
I don't know either. I don't know.
But when he plays college linebacker at a level that is extremely high, then you don't just say, well, you know what, maybe we can play him at safety and let's draft him in the top 10.
By the way, a lot of people covered Randall Cobb last year pretty damn well, as a matter of fact. Had a terrible year last year by his standards. So, and when you talk about covering, Miles Jack only covered like mid-level schools slot receivers. Well, that's what Julian Edelman was. In fact, he wasn't a receiver. He was a quarterback. And John Brown played at Pittsburgh State. Those are mid-level guys. Good players can play in those universities as well. You're covering slot receivers as a 240-pound linebacker at the D1 level. I don't care that much which school it is. You've got a ton of athletic ability.
You can do a lot of different things at the NFL level as a linebacker.
Right. And that's what we're saying. Miles Jack is as versatile as we've seen a linebacker be in a long time. Does that mean he's a perfect player? He's never going to get beat for a touchdown? If you feel that that's what we've represented, I would say that's an issue with your interpretation, not with what we said. 641-1010, final segment coming up. Wow, it's flying by because Logs is in the house. Question of the day, who do you think the Jags have 1, 2, 3 on their board? Because they're guaranteed to get one of their top three players, presuming they don't love the quarterbacks, and which we are just mentioning that just out of the sake of some wise guy out there saying that. But who are the top three players on the Jags board? Not that you would like to see them draft, but who do you think the Jags have ranked 1, 2, 3 at the top of their board? We'll look at some of the responses coming up next. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, revolvers, to sporting arms and everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold meets and beats any gun shop's price in the USA guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Guns4Jax.com is the website. Guns, the number 4JAX.com. Better yet, stop by on South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
I want to apologize to the fans of the New England Patriots and Tom Brady. I was wrong to put my faith in the league. Given the facts, evidence, and laws of science that underscore this entire situation, it is completely incomprehensible to me that the league continues to take steps to disparage one of its all-time great players.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Why are we playing a quote about the Deflategate this morning? You know, this is an
just
item...
Just when you thought you were out.
Oh, this is great. This is an item from earlier today on Pro Football Talk. It was about an hour and a half ago. And it says, on March 3rd, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit heard oral arguments in the case involving the four-game suspension imposed last May on Patriots QB Tom Brady. Next Tuesday will be the two-month anniversary of what typically is the last step before the issuance of a decision. And they go on, if the judges of the second court have any sense of flair, they'll issue their decision this week with the draft approaching, and remarking that 5 years ago, Judge Susan Nelson did the same, which forced the lockout to end at the time and sent the league scrambling to court to try to have things reinstituted and all that. Well, the reason we bring this up is because Adam Schefter, and this is not a darn Schefter or any other fake account. This
when
is the
I saw
real
it,
one.
I was like, what am I looking at?
The U.S. Appeals Court has reinstated New England Patriots Tom Brady's suspension over Deflategate per Reuters News Service. Tom Brady is now suspended for the first four games of the season, pending, we can only guess, yet another appeal, and in which if he wins it, there'll be another appeal on the other side, and on and on. I don't know if it'll get to the Supreme Court or not, Jeff, but right now the Cardinals, Dolphins, Texans, and Bills are not too upset.
They're not too upset, and Tom Brady's very happy. In fact, it's on SportsCenter right now, the conversation Adam Schefter is having with SportsCenter. But Tom Brady made the smart move. You know, that his contract, when he redid his deal or extended his deal, was structured so that there was not a lot of money in that first 4 weeks of the season, in the paragraph five salary of it, so that if he was to be suspended, he would lose a minimal amount of money.
Right. Money-wise, you're right. Smart move. Pretty sure he's not overall, the general mood is not happiness in the Tom Brady
Patriot
house today.
Patriot Nation is not going to be happy.
Patriot Nation is steaming. You already got to sit out Thursday night, first night of the NFL draft. Now you get to maybe watch your boy on the sidelines, or actually not be on the sidelines. Don't get to watch him at all the first month of the season. We'll see where things go. That's where things stand at the moment, according to Reuters via Adam Schefter. Field Yates, who's also plugged in up there in the New England area, as followed up on that by pointing out the first four opponents that he is scheduled to miss games against are the Cardinals, Dolphins, Texans, and Bills. Not happy that he'd missed the game against the Texans, me personally, but the rest of them don't care all that much. But today, Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. We asked you to name who you think are the top three players on the Jaguars draft board in order, not who you think they should draft, but who you think they actually have ranked 1, 2, and 3. Tony, give us a look at some of the feedback we got.
Here's what we got from Brian: Jack 1, Ramsey 2, Buckner 3. From Isaiah: Jack, Bosa, Tunsil in that order. From Jason: Tunsil, Bosa, Ramsey, so no Jack for him. From Daniel: Tunsil, Bosa, Ramsey, same order there. From Irish Jaguar: Ramsey, Jack, Bosa. Personally, I'd swap Jack and Ramsey, but he thinks the Jags like Ramsey more than Jack there. From Chuck, we got Ramsey, Jack, Hargraves. From Kyle: Ramsey, Bosa, Buckner, 2A and B, and then Shaq Lawson, third. It's Ramsey, your best pass rusher available in his eyes. From Eric: I would hope Jack, Ramsey, Tunsil, but I think it's Jack, Ramsey, Buckner. Who knows? From Jag Dog, we got Jack, Ramsey, Bosa. From Jags and Goats, we got, if medicals check out, Jack is clear cut number one, Bosa, Ramsey, Tunsil 2 through 4. From Chad: Jack 1, Bosa 2, Buckner 3. From Frank: Bosa, Ramsey, Gags, Tunsil. From Black Dog: Ramsey, Buckner, Tunsil. Hashtag don't select an injured player at number one. From Bill, Ramsey, Jack Bosa. And from Michael, Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, and then Buckner.
All right, here's a few on Facebook. Joshua went with Laremy Tunsil, one. Again, I'm presuming you guys took the question the right way. Who do you think the Jags have ranked 1, 2, 3? Tunsil, Jack Ramsey was from Joshua, hashtag Jaguars today. Steven K. Brown said Ramsey, Buckner, and Ronnie Stanley. He says Stanley need to protect the greatest asset on the team, like him better than Tunsil. I don't know if he's saying he likes him better than Tunsil. I doubt the Jags like Ronnie Stanley better than Laremy Tunsil. Adrian went with Ramsey at one, Jack at 1A, and then Bosa at number three. I'm going to look for any outliers here. There's one that has Miles Jack, Joey Bosa, Vernon Hargraves. There's one that's absolutely ridiculous. I'm not going to read that. Miles Jack, Leonard Floyd, Jalen Ramsey. Somebody's buying what Daniel Jeremiah is peddling. Chad Cox has got Buckner, Tunsil, and Jack. Which is interesting. Jeff, is there a wild card guy that we haven't discussed? Or do you think that if the Jags stay at five, how confident are you that the pick, not knowing how they feel about Jack's knee, that the pick comes from one of Jack, Ramsey, Buckner, Bosa, or Tunsil?
That's it.
That's it. You think 100% certainty in your mind or approaching virtual certainty?
Yeah,
in your
I can't
mind.
Imagine it being anybody else.
If there was, let's say they traded back. Let's say they trade back to 10, right, and they missed out on this group. Who is the guy that you would be most interested in out of either the next tier or even a tier beyond that of prospects? If you're trading back accumulating picks, is there a particular player you're interested in?
Well, Floyd, I think, is one that you would consider if you're moving back. To me, I can't see any other position other than an edge rusher moving back. Whether that's and I'm not saying 10, but I mean, it could be 10, it could be 15, it could be 17, wherever it is, but an edge rusher, Shaq Lawson, Dodd, the defensive tackles that are on the board, the rest of them, none of them can hold a candle to a Buckner type player.
Have you watched much film on Robert Kimdichie? We talked about him earlier.
A little bit.
What does he project as to
He's
you?
He's super talent, but I mean, I just don't know. I mean, with all the off-the-field questions with him, I don't even think he's draftable.
This, by the way, Dave said this, but I'm sure Gus is in agreement. They had, about 50 players off the board, roughly, right?
Somewhere in there.
I think it was it 12 for character? Or
I think he said 11 or 12. Yeah.
11 or 12 for character, and the rest of them were for medical or not necessarily like they were injured, but Dave Caldwell even specifically said, we don't think you're tough enough. You know, if you're not that type of player, you're too finesse a player, you're whatever, that you may be off our board. Not that you're, an injury risk or anything like that. They just don't see what other teams see.
Yeah, and I don't think that's anything that's I think the biggest difference is that most teams might have, if the Jaguars have 12 for character, the Cowboys might have 2.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm not trying to disparage Jerry Jones.
Well, last year they had none, okay? Because they had Hardy. Yeah. They pounced on Randy Gregory in the second round, and neither
the Raiders back
out.
In the day would have 0.
Right.
I think it's a little different now with McKenzie running the draft out there in Oakland. But, I mean, that's probably the one thing. The Cincinnati Bengals have never been known to fault guys for character.
Right.
For the most part.
Historically, anyway. Yeah.
For the most part, they stayed okay once they've gotten there, but there's been a few issues.
And there's a big difference between, to me anyway, on taking a risk on Robert Kindici in round one or like the Bengals picking up Vontaze Burfict as an undrafted rookie. I don't have an issue with that because you bring him in, if he doesn't fit, there's no investment there. Right, you get rid of him.
But here's the big difference, though. The general manager for the Jaguars is hired. The general manager for the Dallas Cowboys is the owner.
Correct. Right. But
he doesn't have to worry about firing the general manager.
But Jerry is taking a bit of a backseat, they say, to Stephen Jones, his son, and decisions like drafting Zach Martin a couple years ago instead of reaching for Johnny Manziel, who was heavily debated in Dallas, is evidence people point to that Jerry's turning things over to more, stable minds, let's say, less volatile minds.
If when it comes down to it, what Jerry says
it goes.
Is going to go.
I get you. I get you, brother. What do you have coming up? You have anything coming up between now and Thursday night that we need to know
no,
about?
No, just the draft. Looking forward to it. I'm excited. I get excited about the draft, you know, because the last couple of years, you know, I've been watching a lot of film on these guys, and you evaluate them, and you want to see kind of where they get drafted based upon, not because you're – I'm not trying to predict where guys go to certain teams. That's not what I like. I like watching them, evaluating them, and then seeing – how other teams value those players that you watch.
And how they fit in with what other teams do, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, somewhat, you know. It's not so much the fit as it is just the grades,
right,
the value.
Like, I see them this
have.
Way. Do other teams yeah. agree with what I see? Mm-hmm. I like that. Give a percentage chance that the Jags pick more than once in round one.
Zero.
You don't think they'll trade up? There's not a player that would entice them to make a move up.
So to trade from round two,
from 38
to get up late in the first round,
yeah,
I don't see that happening. The cost, I mean, when you're, I just don't see that happening. I don't see Dave Caldwell doing that.
Okay, we'll find out Thursday night, right?
Yeah,
you're on the air. What, 6 o'clock?
I think 6 to 10.
You and Frangie,
me, Frank, Big Bo, you probably. We'll get you on.
I'll
for
be
a little
up in
bit.
Chicago. I'll be happy to jump on with you.
So it'll be a fun show, and should be a great draft party. I'm looking forward to that. You know, last year it was kind of all around on the field, you know, but with the construction going on, it's up at the pool deck area.
FanDuelville, I believe is where, yeah.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. So it's probably going to be a packed house and get the big screens going. And I will say that Friday was the first day that I had a chance to actually take a look at some of the changes in the stadium. I don't know if you walked outside to take a look.
No, you mean inside the bowl?
Yeah, inside the bowl where you could see the club, the
Not
club
the last
renovations.
Month or so, yeah.
It's amazing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's going to be incredible.
And if you want more information on attending the draft party, just simply go to jaguars.com. They've got it all right there for you. Logs, good to see you.
Yeah, good seeing you.
And hopefully maybe we'll catch up a few weeks after the draft and see get your thoughts on how all the new crop fit
yeah,
in.
Yeah, well, I mean, after the draft, I always go and watch the film of all the draft picks. So, yeah, we'll catch up.
We'll break it down. There he goes, Jeff Loggeman. Give him a follow on Twitter at Logs56. Of course, for 1010XL, Fat Tony at MD_1010XL and at 1010XL Tyler. You already follow us in droves, don't you? Unfollow us and follow us again, because I like to see all those people that follow me on a daily basis.
You know,
basis.
Mike, you were talking about the construction going on
yes.
at Everbank. You don't even have to go to Everbank to check it out. You just have to go to jaguars.com/constructioncamps.
Watch the live video.
Live feed.
Right there. There you have
Absolutely.
It. You know, smarter minds than me figured that out. There he goes, Jeff Loggeman out the door. That's going to do it for us, for Loggy, for Joe Fortunato. Played golf with Fortunato on Friday.
Oh, well, yeah, how'd that go?
He was not nearly as bad as he made me fear he was going to be. And I played with some guys, Tony, that cannot get the ball airborne and can't hit it more than 75
Backer.
Yards. We've all played with guys like that a time or two in our life. And Fortunato acquitted himself quite well. I thought he did fine. So for Fortunato, for Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, thanks to Jeff Loggeman for popping in with us today. I'm Mike Dempsey, wrapping things up on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. That much closer, 3 days away. XL Primetime is next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.